Do you guys mind if I record this for an article I'm doing on you? Thank you.
All right, we'll start up in front.
Thank you. Well, your Daily Show joke turned out to be very prescient since we all saw this movie the week Jon Stewart announced he's leaving and it's coming out next week. Is Jessica Williams, your guys' pick for the next host? And did you anticipate in doing that joke that this was coming sooner than later?
We're standing firmly behind our candidate for the Daily Show election this year. And that's for America and for the kids.
How much proof do you need that the hot tub is real? But yeah, Jessica Williams, hell yeah.
Yep.
All day, every day.
Question right here. Hi. First of all, congratulations on the film. It was hilarious.
Thanks.
Everybody was laugh riot. My question is for Josh and for Steve. I do apologize in advance. Maybe I missed this because everybody's laughing so much. But the trench coat that was next left to next to the hot tub, was that a way, it seemed like that wasn't explained, was that a way to maybe open the door for John Cusack to come back in a later, maybe another hot tub time machine?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel, well, first of all, the deep dramaturgy of this movie I think is best answered by Josh. I will say that like Hot Tub, I think that Hot Tub kind of exists like the Avengers in terms of its, you know, is like Thor or like Iron Man. Or
one of the cosmic characters.
Whoever
it's like the cosmos of characters in Hot Tub Time Machine exists, you know, very much like the cosmos of Avengers, so.
I wish I had that answer.
Yeah, we did want to put that there as a way of saying he didn't just, you know, disappear from this universe. Yeah.
And he's a suspect in the movie for a while,
Right. It could be lost somewhere in time.
And might be the killer. He's not.
Thank you.
Greg.
Yes.
As a kid growing up in the 90s, how does it feel like working with Lisa Loeb? And what was Lisa's reaction that you making a song like that?
She was overjoyed. You know, last year was her 20-year anniversary of that song. So she, when Steve was like, you think we could get Lisa right now? And I called her. It's like, boom. And she was, excited about it. And then, but this guy here, he has a serious crush on Lisa. And Lisa was so cool to come work in the movie. And
we went to get foot massages.
And then he got jealous.
I get Lisa Loeb. You know what I mean? Like, I get her.
Good morning. What were some of the short lists?
Really?
Take it.
Really?
Take that call.
Wow.
Take
come
the
on.
Call. We knew that was everybody good. Keep your phones on, by the way. Keep your phones on, because I don't want anybody to miss a call.
What were some of the other short list of songs that you were willing to spoof or cover in this film, besides Lisa Loeb? And...
Oh, boy. So many, right?
I wrote...
the whole Culture Club canon.
That was the original song, and she said yes, so we never really went down that list, I guess.
Yes, because the world was our oyster on that. Every single musical artist in the history of music was calling, actually, to be a part of it. And Lisa just called first.
It's annoying. It's super annoying to field all those artists' calls. God.
He was like,
you can tell they just want to talk. Like, they're going through some stuff or whatever.
You get away with it.
It had to be some kind of iconic video, too, so that was part of it, right? Some iconic video that we could actually shoot. So it kind of...
Directed by Ethan Hawke, that video.
Yes, that's right.
And he came in and directed that scene.
The whole movie. He actually directed the whole movie.
He directed this picture.
The hardest part was finding the cat.
It was. Yeah. That's true. That's not
a joke.
That's absolutely true.
Cats are dicks.
That cat. You get away with so much in the film. Was there a joke or concept that you couldn't get away with that you wish was in the film?
Yeah, all the 9/11 jokes were cut.
They fell off pretty early.
I don't know why. So that, I guess, was too far.
No, I mean, the studio gave us a lot of creative freedom. I think foolishly or not, you know, they said you guys kind of all know what a Hot Tub Time Machine movie looks like and feels like at this point, and you know, to their credit or detriment, they put their faith in us to kind of dictate what the humor and what the tone was.
Hey guys, Adam, I was wondering if you could talk about what it felt like to join this cast and be part of this franchise, and for the other actors, and Steve, why was Adam the right guy to play this role?
Before I answer that question, I just need to consult with my attorney. Sorry. I really enjoyed joining this film. Rob Corddry was especially generous on set. I loved the first... Sorry.
No further questions.
Thank you. I loved the first one. I was actually at the premiere of the first one.
Not to brag.
Not to brag. I got invited.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This guy.
And actually had a conversation with Steve on the... I've known all these guys for a while, so... And actually had a conversation with Steve on the phone before they had... Before Josh had even written the script and agreed to do it then, which is such a stupid
terrible
thing
move.
To do.
Terrible.
But then it was just a no-brainer. I mean, it just sounded like going to New Orleans for summer camp with some friends. And I'm really glad I did. It was really fun.
Yeah, we were thinking about who to bring into the movie. And this is true that I called Clark and we were talking about it, and he said he had just made a movie with Adam.
Yep.
And then what about Adam? And of course, much like Adam just said, I said to Clark, do you think we can trick Adam into being in the movie?
And I said, let me handle it.
It was Clark's idea, truly.
It was, yeah. And so then I called Adam and proceeded to trick him into being in Hot Tub 2. And he exercised
fell for
incredibly
it.
Poor judgment
he fell
for a
it.
Long period of time. The thing about it is you could say there's a lot of points in time in which you could say no, and we just kept reeling him back in.
Yeah. And now, hundreds of dollars later,
yeah,
here he is starring in Hot Tub 2.
I walked away from the movie 100 air.
I was just wondering, because hopefully I read this right, if I didn't, this question never happened. But how did you guys get OK Go to write fucking Nerd?
Oh, well.
Well, they didn't write it.
Yeah.
It was improv'd in the movie.
That's okay. So this question never happened.
No, it happened.
No.
You can't take that back.
We share a birthday.
Do we?
We do.
Oh, man. So, no, you guys, everybody else mind if we talk about our birthday?
February 4th.
Because then you can say whatever you want.
To be fair, though, Rob has two or three birthdays.
Yeah.
When's his
February 4th.
Is that true?
That's right.
Yes, mine's the 3rd, just FYI.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Do not care.
Happy birthday.
This is about me.
What was the question?
The
guys improvised it, and then it just seemed to have a life of its own, and then we thought the song itself, and then we called OK Go, because we just, you know,
they're affordable.
We have no shame. We have no shame. We will ask anyone at any time to make the mistake of being part of Hot Tub Time Machine, and they once again were tricked into doing it, and they apparently loved the first one.
Yeah, and Josh wrote the lyrics to the song that they ended up recording off of our chorus, I guess it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Robin Craig's, you know, improv in the movie, that was a small little thing that, you know, just every time we watched it became this, you know, we were always laughing at it at the 100, 200 time we watched the movie, and it became the idea of what if we built out this one little tiny moment into this giant thing. And yeah, I mean, as is unusually typical with this movie, like, we ask and something sort of works out for us.
And it's become a national sensation.
And they wrote it, at least in part, on the road, actually, and recorded some of it on the road and sent it to us in pieces.
They're drifters.
Yeah, they're drifters. You never know where
they're actually homeless. They're hobos.
The rails more than the road. To be fair.
Hey,
hi,
everybody.
Hi.
High five for the movie.
High five.
High five.
So... going back to, I mean, the song and just how much of the script was improvised? I noticed in one of the trailers, there's that dig at Craig about, like, you look like a minor Medea, like, character. But I didn't see that in the cut in the movie. So how did you guys choose what stays and what goes? And also, is traveling back in time to see what happened in Cincinnati off the table in the next one?
Well, nothing's off the table when it comes to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Josh doesn't let the actors improvise.
Not at all.
Josh lords over the text of Hot Tub Time Machine.
We're wearing earwigs too sometimes, so he just feeds us.
That's
right. He's great.
That's right.
Lines.
It's like I think there was a comma there, Adam.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's almost 100% improvised. There's no script. It's like, hey, why don't we have a room?
Well,
do something.
Josh writes, honestly, Josh writes great bits that inspire.
Yeah.
Because it's all very conversational. The real movie is us just hanging out and either giving each other shit or you know, just hanging out. And Josh writes that really well. And it's also, it offers a great place for launching off into just other versions of that same joke, you know, and that was a lot of it with like the mirror thing with the minor Tyler Perry character. That was about 4 hours in front of that mirror, just staring at each other, trying to insult your best friends.
And then Josh is on set all the time, pitching new jokes, and so it's all really collaborative.
Annoying. Oh yeah, collaborative.
Josh was telling me when I was wrapped every day too.
I always try to wrap Clark early. Not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they were really also great about...
My ride's here.
you know, about improvising things that had some relationship to each other. Like, they were really... Like, one of the ones I like was when the Looper joke was like, oh, this is a time travel joke that is going to somehow explain, you know, the science and logic of this thing. But it really then becomes about how Rob shunned, or, you know, Rob's character... Lou shunned his best friend by not going to see Looper with him because he was too busy. But the joke was on him because he loves Bruce Willis. So I think that's true. A lot of times, like they would, you know, be really good about being in character and create like, you know, pieces of the relationship that, you know, you kind of get.
That's our only job, to be a character. The only thing we get paid, it's not digging holes, is what I'm saying.
We know something's going to bear a lot of fruit when it's really complicated and I'm explaining the science behind it or the time travel logic of it for the 19th time and no one understands it except for me in some way, you know, halfway. And
we understand it. We just don't care.
Don't care. But that's going to lead to that exact scene where, you know, where Clark is trying to explain to them what's going on and they don't give a shit. And that's some version of me explaining to them at some point and they don't give a shit.
So going back to the first Hot Tub Time Machine, I have to ask, what was the pitch meeting like to the studios to get them to greenlight Hot Tub Time Machine?
A lot of middle fingers, I guess. I don't know.
You got a lot of anger, questioning one's career choice. Josh, you could answer that.
Yeah, the first Hot Tub Time Machine I pitched because I was not going to spec it because I didn't think anyone would buy it. And I walked in with a straight face and pitched what a movie called Hot Tub Time Machine looked like. And they scarily said, how fast can you have a script to us, because let's go make this. And I said, okay, I will call that bluff. And I wrote the script very quickly, and the training wheels were off, and it was off and running. So it was a very unusual process of, like, from the moment the pitch was sold to when the movie came out, it was under a year and a half.
But this was also an idea that you had with your college buddies, right?
No, it was an idea that I had with a producer of the first movie, Matt Moore. We were pitching something else that was dying, and we had this just inside joke about a movie called Hot Tub Time Machine. And we didn't know what it was, but we would call each other and joke about, like, hey, let's go pitch Hot Tub Time Machine. It's like, no, seriously, let's get lunch. And months would go by, and it was still funny to us, and we said, let's sit down and figure out what a movie called Hot Tub Time Machine actually might look like. And we're like, well, there's skiing, and it's probably a hot tub, and it's probably a time machine.
Done. It writes
itself. Hooray for Hollywood!
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. I heard a rumor that this was originally going to be called Hot Tub Time Machine 3. Why did that happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fear.
Happen?
Fear.
Fear.
fear and probably the real possibility
yeah.
that people might have felt like they missed the second one.
Yeah. And go, I don't get it.
Joke, and then not seeing the third one because like, well, I already missed the second one, so I'm not now caught up. So
but you have my promise that the next movie's called Hot Tub 4.
Yeah.
I'm just curious with the ball spiking scene. Was that originally just like Ortiz's idea? We're just gonna spike Adam's balls, or was it like kind of a grosser than gross contest until you guys figured out the perfect like
spiking?
Yeah, when he sticks.
I think you're thinking of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You're thinking of Gronkowski. I'm just playing with words, guys. It's fun. Well,
I mean, where did that scene originate? That came pretty late in the project. We were almost in production, and we were looking for another set piece or something to do with the guys before we got to the wedding, and you know, the story was off and running to the end.
What's another terrible thing that we can right. exact upon poor Adam?
The studio was scared it was skewing too intellectual, right?
Yeah.